turn with me this morning to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew 13. And as you're turning, I want to thank the church. Last Sunday evening, we took an offering for the starving orphans, not orphans, but the starving children in Somalia, and that offering was $2,500, and I appreciate your willingness to give to that. One more note as you're turning. On the calendar, there was a Sunday school staff meeting tonight before church, and that conflicted with some other things. And so instead, we're going to meet really briefly after church. There's a reason. There's something coming up that I need to just chat with you briefly after church. It'll be a real short meeting, and that'll be after our altar service tonight. And one more note, there was a change for Sidewalk Sunday School made into bulletin, and since then, it's been changed back. So you can change the 3 back into a 6 on Sidewalk Sunday School. Sidewalk Sunday School at 6 this coming Saturday. Appreciate that ministry. Amen. Well, how many's happy that you're saved this morning? No trick there. I just ask if you're happy. Amen. All right, Matthew chapter 13. We'll read the parable, then we'll bring the other parts into the sermon this morning. Matthew 13, verse 24. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeareth the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, sir, didst thou not sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? He said unto them, an enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, wilt thou then that we go and gather them up, the tares? But he said, nay, lest while you gather up the tares, you root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest, and in the time of the harvest I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, burn the tares, but gather the wheat into my barn. Today we wouldn't use the word tear, we would use the word weed. And so I want to preach this morning on the weeds and the wheat. The weeds and the wheat. Only God is qualified to identify and remove those unfit for his kingdom. And be assured, one day he will do the separating in a day of judgment. Amen. I just want to be wheat, not a weed. Praise the Lord. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, speak to us through the preaching of your word. Lord, you know every heart that is here. Lord, you've zeroed in upon every need. Lord, you're concerned about every problem. Lord, I don't know how you do it, but by your spirit you can. You can take whatever word is preached. You can address every need and bring that person in an encounter with you. Do that, Holy Spirit. I want to depend upon you as I preach in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. It was a little later than this time of year in my upperclassman years, but a friend of mine and I, we went to the central hills of Arkansas, about 250 miles away from the school, to preach a revival. We traded off each night. And we got down there. I'll never forget, it was a beautiful little church. It was nestled in to those rolling hills there. And one of the reasons it stamped on my mind is I had a lot of studying to do for school, but out behind the church, nothing around the church except trees. There might have been a cemetery there, but there was a park bench, and I lay out there studying, and you could look out, and you could see all the farms and the recently harvested fields. Just beautiful. The trees were changing color, and it's just a beautiful, sunshiny time there. But what I want to talk to you about is the first night of the meeting, I was preaching. And there was a sister right on the front, and from the beginning of the service, you talk about worship, you talk about praising God, I mean, you talk about shouting. I got up to preach, and I'm telling you what, she, amen, she got in, she wept, she cried, she came to the altar, she prayed and prayed. And afterwards, as you do, we were sitting around fellowshipping with the pastor, and he had several adult daughters there, and we were all talking and everything. And I made the comment, I said, that sister that sat up there on the right, and then we had two rows of pews, that sister that sat up there on the right, I'm telling you what a spiritual woman. And I can't remember if it was the pastor or one of his adult daughters, but one of them spoke up and said, huh, are you kidding? There's not a bigger snuff-dipping, gossiping troublemaker in the county. They went my reputation of having discernment of spirits. I mean, she had me fooled. I labeled her wheat. And evidently, she was wheat. I thought of how sure I was she was wheat, and I wondered, how often do we do this? How often do we get it wrong? We call wheat wheat, we call wheat wheat. That's hard even to say, but we get it all messed up. I'm not going to all that. I believe in character building, and each of my children in turn had to help weed the garden in the summer. But I can't tell you, Andrew's word was whoopsie. He said, whoopsie, I just pulled a bean. I thought it was a weed. I can't tell you how many weed plants got pulled, good plants, in the sake of building character, but a lot of them got pulled. Why? Because sometimes it's hard to tell the difference between the weed and the good thing. This is what this parable is about. As we've been doing, let's ask the question, what is going on that caused Jesus to share this parable? In fact, the context of this parable is the general fact that we read that crowds massed around Jesus. Crowds of people came from every quarter. They were attracted to Jesus, attracted to his word. Now, that was a wonder in itself that people were attracted to Jesus, but the greater wonder was Jesus received all those that came to him. He did not push them away. Now, his reception of the crowds, it irked some folks. It irked the Pharisees. I mean, the Pharisees got all upset that Jesus let any and every kind of people gather around him to hear the word. It not only upset the Pharisees, it at times upset the disciples. I mean, the disciples got upset. Jesus, why are you letting the children come? Why are you letting the Gentile woman come? Why are you letting the woman wash your feet? I mean, even the disciples got upset that Jesus let every kind of person gather around him. Now, here's the thing that got them. Jesus received people that even society had rejected. Even society didn't want to have anything to do with them. Jesus received them and ministered to them. I'm talking about some of the heaviest criticism leveled at Jesus was the kind of folks he attracted and allowed to be in his presence. In fact, in Luke, the Pharisees put it this way, saying of Jesus, they thought it was an indictment. They said, this man, this Jesus, receiveth sinners and eateth with them. I mean, they're in high criticism. This Jesus, this man, receiveth sinners and eateth with them. They met it as criticism, but I think it's a wonderful commentary of what kind of Savior that we have. I'm telling you, he still receives sinners. How many is glad you can say he receiveth sinners and he eats with them? Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. But the point is, when the Pharisees and the disciples got upset at Jesus receiving these kind of folks, they expected Jesus to cull the crowd. They expected Jesus to weed out the undesirables. In this parable, the weeds aren't things that grow in our heart. In this parable, the weeds aren't the sins of individual life. The weeds are people deemed unfit for the kingdom of God, deemed unfit to be in the church of Jesus Christ. You know, this thing is a very real reality. Some folks are always wanting to get rid of the weeds. Listen, I'm telling you the truth. There's always someone in the youth group that some folks would rather get out of the youth group. There's always someone that'll show up to church that folks would rather get them out of the church than They ask the question, why are they allowed to be apart? Isn't somebody going to get rid of them? That's what this parable's about. Now, underlying the desire to get rid of the weeds are two false assumptions. Number one, someone that wants to get rid of the weeds, number one, they have the false assurance that they are for sure the wheat and the other guy is the weed. I mean, to be wanting to get rid of weeds, you have to assume, I'm wheat. The other guy, he's the problem, he's the weed. The other false assumption is that they have the special ability, they have the surefire ability to be able to distinguish between weed and wheat. Amen. Jesus is going to give a parable that says, hold up on that. Wait a minute. Let's reconsider it. So what is the earthly illustration? I believe, no doubt, that as Jesus continues to teach, the farmer on the slopes, Brother Brock, he's continuing to spread and to sow his seed. He's the backdrop of these parables that Jesus shares. Look at verse 24. We just read it, but Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a man that sowed good seed into his field. The first thing we notice, the sower is a good sower. He knows what he's doing. He sows only good seed. He's careful. He's knowledgeable. His seed has no weed in it. His seed has no tear in it. It's healthy seed. It's seed that will germinate and bring life. Even whatever happens in this field, it's not the fault of the sower. This is a good sower who sows good seed. Hallelujah. I've got to be careful. I'll start applying it. We're not ready for that. Verse 25. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. Now, this was a very real thing that happened at the time of Christ. Two farmers would get in a feud. They'd have a quarrel. They'd get in a fight. And many times one of them, there are real historical stories where this happened. The man with the grudge, he'd go out and get weed seed, and he would pick that out. And at night, he would go to the field of the man he was having a quarrel with, and he would literally sow this wheat seed to try to ruin his enemy's field, his enemy's crop. The people knew when Jesus gave this parable, that kind of thing happened. In fact, the Romans, when they conquered Israel, they came in and they had laws against doing that kind of thing. The purpose of sowing weed amongst the wheat, the good, the bad amongst the good, was to repay a grudge. It wasn't just aggravating, it was ruinous to that person's livelihood, that person's field. The Bible said an enemy came in and sowed the tares while men slept. Now, I would like to make a point here. Things happen when we sleep, but it's not the point that the farmer or his servants had been negligent and had went to sleep. People have to sleep. Farmers need their rest. The point isn't that the farmer slept. The point is that the enemy went in under the cover of night. He snuck in. It was a covert activity. I'm trying real hard not to apply it yet, but there's still an enemy that comes in under the cover of darkness to wreak his havoc. Now listen, what was this that he sowed? Even by all understanding, the weed, the tare that he sowed, was what is called today the bearded darnel. Could you show us that? There it is. There's the bearded darnel. Let me tell you something about that. Many strains of this aren't just ruinous to the field in that they take the nutrients, but they are actually poisonous. Many strains of this are actually poisonous. The point is, he sowed something that didn't look drastically different, but it looked very much like the wheat. In fact, this valueless imposter was sown because it did look so much like the wheat. Now, this is the bearded darnel. Now, let's see the picture of the wheat. Now, I'm showing you the finished product, but the point is the stalk of the wheat and the stalk of the bearded darnel looked identical, looked the same. You couldn't tell any difference till the head came on. And even then, show me both of them if you would, brother. Even then, it's pretty hard to tell the difference. Amen. The wheat is more symmetrical. Amen. It was a big difference. Amen. But it was hard to see. One was beneficial, the other was poisonous. Amen. Let's go on. Amen. By the way, I've noticed those weeds that grow amongst your beans, they look a lot. I mean, I know there's different kind of weeds that can grow in your beans, but if you grow beans, there's that one kind of weed that grows there that looks a lot like a bean plant. You got to be careful. Amen. The enemy always knows what he's doing. Verse 26, but when the blade was sprung up, couldn't tell the difference yet, but when it brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. It was not evident that there were tares among the wheat until each began to produce its fruit. Hear me this morning, it's only in the fruit that the difference can be distinguished. That's why every believer here, everyone that considers himself wheat, you need to be bearing fruit, because it's only in the fruit that the difference can be distinguished. Verse 27, so the servants of the householder came and said unto him, sir, didst thou not sow good seed into thy field? Then where did the weeds come from? Amen. In fact, there's a little bit indictment in the servant's question. If it were really good seed, sir, that you had sowed, then where did the weeds come from? This was the beginning of what people do today. When there's weeds, people want to blame the sower instead of the enemy. I'm telling you, if there's weeds, it's not the sower's fault. It's the enemy's fault. Can you say amen? And then let's read on. Look what he says here in verse 28. He said unto them, an enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, wilt thou then that we should go and gather them up? An enemy has done this. The weeds are in the field, not by accident, but by design and intent. I was grieved this past week, the 10th year of the anniversary, all the memorial services, all the commentary, and yet there was hardly any reference to those that had done the thing. They wouldn't mention the word terrorists. They wouldn't mention the ideologies. They wouldn't even mention those that had done the thing. I'm telling you, the reason those towers fell was because there was an enemy. And there's something about our society today. They think it's broad-minded. They think it's generous of them to never mention an enemy, never mention evil. But I want you to know, Jesus makes clear, even there is an enemy, and there is evil, and he needs to be named. Can you say amen? An enemy hath done this. The servants then, in their upsetness, they wanted to go out there. They were so upset by the weeds. They were so concerned about the wheat. They wanted to go out and start jerking up the weeds. They said, do you not want us? They said to the master, don't you want us to go out and gather up the weeds? Look at verse 29. But he said, no, don't do that, lest when you're jerking up the weeds, you pull up the wheat with them. You see, yes, the weeds had taken the moisture from the ground, the warmth from the sun, the nutrients from the soil that should have went to the wheat. The weeds had taken that. But by the time the identity of the weed had been discovered, the roots of the weed had intermingled and intertangled with the roots of the wheat. And so to jerk up the weed, you would have uprooted the wheat as well. He said, don't do that. Let them both, this is important to the parable, let them both grow together. Verse 30, let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. I'm telling you, that's why I want to be wheat and not wheat. The weeds get burned, but the wheat goes to the barn of the master. Hallelujah. This, I told you, was a not rare occurrence. And when it happened, they did one of three things. If there was just a little bit of tares in the field, they'd go ahead and harvest it all together, and then the women would pick the weed seeds, the bearded darnel seeds, out from amongst the wheat. That was one thing. The second thing that happened many times, the wheat would eventually get taller than the weeds, and they would try to harvest the wheat above the weeds and take that wheat out of the field and then just burn the whole field. But if there was a whole lot of weeds, there was only one way to do it. When the harvesters got in the field, they had to be careful. They would cut with their blade and they would hold on to the wheat, let the weed fall to the ground, hold on to the wheat, tie the wheat into a sheaf, and then they would, after they got the sheaves out of the field, they would gather the weeds into bundles, throw them in a pile, and burn them. I'm telling you, I want to be wheat, because our God is careful, and when he does the harvesting, he's going to get a hold of us. Oh, but the weeds are going to fall to the ground to be burned. That's a parable. Now, what was Jesus driving at? We have to go to verse 36. Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house, and his disciples came unto him, saying, "Declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field." He answered and said unto them, "He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man." I want to preach this morning, God is only responsible for the wheat and not for the weeds. One of the things I tire of hearing from people make an excuse for not surrendering to the Lord God is they say, "I don't want to go to church because there's too many hypocrites there." And they blame God for the hypocrites. I want to tell you, God has nothing to do with the hypocrites. If there's hypocrites there, that's not God's doing. He is the good sower, and he only sows good seed. Instead of looking at the hypocrites, look around at all the good seed that God has sown into his church. Can you say amen? There's nothing wrong with the seed. Then he said the good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. Now the seed actually is the word of God, but the plant produced by the good seed is the children of the kingdom. I know, I'm not saying you are, but I know some folks can get bored by all this until you consider the fact, if you have been saved, you're a child of the kingdom. Hallelujah. If you're a child of the kingdom this morning, you're wheat that's destined for his barn. Amen. It's something to rejoice about. But the weeds are the children of the wicked one. And I could preach a while here. I'm not going to, but there's no third alternative. Either you're a child of God or you're a child of the wicked one. There's no other choice, no other option. I don't want to be a child of the wicked one. I want to be a child of God. Isn't it wonderful that we can sing, oh yes, I'm a child of the King. Praise the name of the Lord. The field is the world. Now, people have done two things with this. Some say this is only about the church, this parable. They want to say that to try to explain the hypocrites in the church. Others say, no, he's not talking about the church because he said the field is the world. So this has nothing to do with the church. Both of those are wrong, because the world here is not talking about that evil thing out there. It's not talking about the system of evil, carnality, and fleshliness. The world here is talking about the inhabitants of the world. As when he said, "For God so loved the world," not the globe, not the evil system, but the inhabitants of the world. The field is people. The field is the inhabitants of earth. And I want to tell you something. It doesn't matter. It's wherever humans are, there's going to be weeds and there's going to be wheat. At your workplace, there's weeds and there's wheat. And sometimes even in a home, there are weeds weeds and there's wheat. And in the church, there's weeds and there's wheat. Wherever there are people, there are both of these. And then in verse 39, he said, the enemy that sowed them is the devil. Another gospel writer said, Satan. Another said, the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. I want to tell you one more time, there is an enemy in this world. He is the devil. And that's the devil's not just a word to talk about the personification of evil or the idea of evil. The devil is a person. The devil has his cohorts, his armies. He's an enemy. The weeds didn't just come up on their own. They weren't just voluntary weeds. Amen. The weeds came up because the enemy, Satan, put evil into a field that was good. And I want you to know, he's never stopped since the garden. Whenever there was something good planted, there came the devil to introduce evil into it. You let something good in God happen to you this morning, and before you get home, the enemy will try to introduce evil into the good. He's an enemy. That's what he's all about. Just like the man that had a grudge sowed weeds into the man's wheat field. I want to tell you, Satan has a grudge against God. Satan hates God, and the way he tries to get at God is to ruin the good works of God. He'll come into a church, he'll come into a home, he'll come into a heart, and he'll sow evil to try to destroy the work of God. An enemy hath done this. An enemy that sows bad. How many know Satan will try to sow bad seed into your thoughts? Bad desires into your heart. He tries to sow bad things into your relationships. He'd like to sow bad things in the church. I'm telling you, we got an enemy that's at work to sow bad things. An enemy hath done this. Now, as the servants of the farmer wanted to go right out just then and jerk the weeds from the ground, from among the wheat, those disciples and Pharisees were wanting Jesus to weed out ever undesirable person, ever seemingly insincere person. That's what the Pharisees were wanting Jesus to do, to weed out the crowd. But if he had done it, you know who they wanted him to weed out, Brother May? They wanted him to weed out Matthew the tax collector. They wanted him to weed out Zacchaeus the extortioner. They wanted him to weed out Mary the Magdalene, who was filled with demons. They wanted him to weed out that woman of ill repute that washed Jesus' feet. I'm telling you, if they were here today, those Pharisees, those self-righteous, would have wanted to weed out many of us. Get rid of them. They'll never make it. They don't have what it takes. They've got big problems, too big of problems. But I'm glad Jesus refused to weed them out when everybody said you got to get rid of them. Can you say amen? Praise the name of the Lord. The reason they wanted Jesus to weed out the tares is because they were sure that they were the wheat and the good ones, and it was everybody else that was the weed. They were sure that they knew best and could tell for sure what was a weed and what was wheat. In the parable, the farmer master told his servants, if I weed them out, if I weed the weeds out of the field right now, it's going to injure the wheat. Even it's not that I'm not going to do something, but to march into the field on a mission to get rid of the weeds, I'll trample on the wheat. Somebody will be hurt jerking up the weeds. Oh, he said, just wait until the harvest. I know you're concerned. I know you think you know which is which. It's not that I won't take care of it, but I'm concerned about my wheat. I'm concerned about that one that really is a wheat. It's just got some struggles and got some problems. I'm concerned about that one that's really is wheat. It's just they have failed when they didn't mean to fail and all of that. He said, now look, I'm not going to do it now. I don't want to hurt the wheat, but be assured there will be a day when I'll take care of it. There is a harvest coming. There is a judgment coming. There is the end of this thing. And on the judgment day, I know, I want to tell you, we may not be able to tell, but the Lord knows those that are his. The Lord knows every stalk of wheat and every stalk of weed. And on the judgment judgment day, he'll do the separating. It's sad, but the weeds will be burned with fire, but everyone that's a wheat will be gathered up and taken to his barn. Hallelujah. I don't mean to be disrespectful, but his barn is heaven. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? So we must leave it to God in the end, in the judgment. We will destroy good in trying to get at the bad. We will mistake the wheat for wheat, and we'll mistake the wheat for weed. We'll let a weed grow. Amen. Oh, may it not be. You see, if I do the judging, I need to be prepared to say, I'm for sure the wheat. And that other fella, he's nothing but a weed. See, the trouble is not too many people are willing to admit they're weeds. Amen. There's problems, so God does it. You say, what's going on here? Jesus is addressing an attitude that somebody, some people, want to quickly conclude, I deserve to go to heaven, but that one's unfit to do so. And this parable addresses an attitude that can get a hold of the heart of people that says, I'm one that's fit for heaven, but that other fella, he's not. It isn't just that the weed look like wheat, it's that the wheat also look like a weed. Hallelujah. I don't know who said this, but in a poem, just this four stanzas here, he said, there is so much good in the worst of us and so much bad in the best of us that it hardly becomes any of us to talk about the rest of us. Hallelujah. I want to give two qualifications here. First of all, the Bible does tell us we're to judge the fruit. You may not be able to tell by the stalk, but you can the fruit. Jesus said we shouldn't go around judging folks by our own personal preferences, our own ideas and thoughts. But the Bible tells us we are to judge their fruit by this word right here. There may not be biblical justification for ridding ourselves of a weed, but the Bible says we are to look at the fruit, and when the fruit shows up, we are to identify them. Amen. Some weeds aren't immediately and unmistakably identified as weeds. But the point of the parable is, amen, there will come a time in the fruit that they are made manifest. So number one qualification, we do judge fruit. But we judge fruit not by our personal opinion and preference. We judge fruit by the word of God. Hallelujah. He that says he walketh in the light and walketh in darkness is a liar, the Bible says. The second qualification, this parable does not mean that the church does not deal with imposters and corruptors and defilers. There are always those who have slipped in to defile and corrupt the church with immorality and false doctrine. It means, this parable means, it's not a subjective thing. It's not a, I think they're not right with God, or I think there's something wrong with them, or I don't like them. Amen. That's what the parable talks about. But this parable does not mean that we don't take the word of God and we look at people's doctrine and life and say this one can teach and this one can't. The church has to do that, or the corrupter. But the point is, it's not a subjective thing. It's a word of God thing. God has given us the principles for dealing with that kind of thing. What Jesus was dealing with was the heart that wanted to set itself up as an individual judge, that I know I'm right and the other guy's always wrong. Jesus said, don't have that attitude. You may not think they're making the grade, but I judge them by my standard and not by your standard. Amen. Amen. You say this isn't something we deal with. Yes, sir, it is. I've been asked, why are they still apart? Why are they doing that? And it was a subjective thing. It was a hunch or a feeling. I'm telling you, until the objective truth and proof comes out, amen, let's leave the judging to God. And only when this word comes do we have the objective truth, the scripture, or the objective proof of the wrong deed. Then let's do it the biblical manner. But let's let God choose who's the wheat and who's the weed. Can you say amen? And then Jesus said, the harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. Amen. I've been asked the question a lot of times, why doesn't God do something about the hypocrites in the church? Why doesn't God do something about the evil people in the world? Well, to make this real short, I want to tell you, not only has he done, but God is going to do something about the hypocrite in the church and the evil person in the world. It's called the judgment. How many still believes there's going to be a judgment? In fact, we're going to get into a lot of these parables. At the judgment, the division is made. Let both grow together until the harvest. But at the harvest, I'm going to send out the reapers. Oh, hallelujah. Those angels have been studying the photographs of the bearded darnel and the wheat. They've been studying it. And those angels aren't going to make a mistake. The trumpet's going to sound. And the reapers, the angels, are going to fly around the globe. And they're going to gather every stalk of wheat and take it to his barn. We could shout on that, but people need to know there's a second half to that. They're going to gather the weeds and burn them with fire. There's been a real attack. I won't go into this morning for sake of time. There's been a real attack against the belief in hell recently in evangelical America. There's been and across the world, a lot of people want to say in the name of love that there's no such thing as hell anymore. Well, if there's not, let's close the door and spend our money another way, right? But I want to tell you, you want to talk about love. The love is that he lets both grow together. Hallelujah. The love is when you look a lot more like weed than wheat, he lets you keep growing until you got it good in your heart. That's the love. But there is coming a harvest. There is coming a day of distinguishing. Be patient. It's all going to come out. Amen. We leave the judging to God. Dr. Samuel Johnson, that great literalist of bygone days, he said, God himself does not propose to judge a man until he's dead. So why should I? Not judging the fruit, but passing judgment. God doesn't pass judgment until a man is dead. Why should I love what John Newton, the writer of Amazing Grace, said. I've quoted it many times, but he said, there's three things that's going to surprise me when I get to heaven. He said, surprise number one, there'll be people there I never thought would make it. You need to be glad, because there's folks that pointed at you and I and said, they'll never make it. He said, surprise number two, there won't be people there that I sure was going to be there. But he said surprise number three was going to be, I really did make it. Oh, what an attitude. Amen. Verse 40. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be at the end of this world. Amen. Verse 41. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels. They shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them that do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. That's why we preach the gospel. That's why we have Sidewalk Sunday School. That's why we have kids night on Wednesday night. That's why we go to the nursing home. There is a time when folks that have rejected God are going to be gathered in the end judgment, and they'll be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth in the fire. The weeds may grow right with the wheat right now. The weeds may seem untouched, unmolested. They may seem healthy and prosperous right now, but the time will come. The weeds may even enter the wheat right now, but the time will come when the weeds will be taken from among the wheat. There will be a judgment, and the punishment will be severe. That's God's word in the gospel. Verse 43, that's not the only thing that happens. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Not only will the weeds be identified and taken care of, the wheat
will be identified and taken care of, will shine like the sun in the kingdom of our Father. I may have to spend, you may have to spend your existence in your field. You may have to spend that existence with weeds. Weeds may give you pain. Weeds may injure you. Weeds may make it difficult for you to serve God. But I'm telling you, there's coming a day you won't be in the field with the weeds anymore. He's going to take you out and put you in the kingdom of His Father, and you'll shine like the sun. Oh, what a gospel. I said, what a gospel. Amen. How many still wanting to hear what Jesus taught? Amen. That's what this is all about. That's why we're doing this here. It's about what Jesus taught. Even last of all, what should we do? Having heard this parable, what should we do? I do this in just a very few moments, like I do every Sunday. But first of all, I want to address we believers. What does that say to us? That says that we need to be thankful that we're wheat instead of festering over the weeds all the time. I mean, a weed can get you out of joint. It can consume your attention. It can bother you, frustrate you. But instead of being frustrated over the weeds, just lift your hands and say, thank God, I am wheat. I've been saved. I know there's hypocrites, but thank God I got the real thing. He washed me. He cleansed me. I know there's people that are problems, but thank God I can look around and there's a crowd of blood-washed folks too. Hallelujah. Be thankful that you're wheat. What should we do? Amen. I need to focus on becoming more the wheat instead of being bothered by those wheat. Not only am I thankful that I'm wheat, but I'm not going to consume my energy worrying about the weeds. I'm going to turn my attention to God that He can make me everything wheat should be. Oh, hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Amen. We try to distinguish between weeds and wheat, but we need to be more concerned whether or not we are the wheat than who else is a weed. I need to be more concerned that I'm a wheat than who else might be a weed. I'll leave that to God. I'll leave that to the Word of God. I'll leave that to the leadership structure, the biblical principles. What would I say to the unbeliever this morning? There's something that never happens in the natural realm. And because Jesus only used parables of real life happenings, He didn't mention it in His parable. What am I talking about? This never happens, Brother Cecil, in the natural realm. You'll never have a weed that all of a sudden turns into a wheat. How many knows I'm telling you the truth? You'll never, but I'm telling you, there is a God who can intervene in the natural world. You can be, I'm talking to an unbeliever, you can be weed this morning, but there is a God in heaven. If you'll come to Him, He can reach down from Him and turn the weed into a wheat. Hallelujah. How many had Him do that to you? Hallelujah. He changed your nature, changed your desire, changed your, you were a new creature. You're no longer a weed. Hallelujah. You're a wheat. I don't want to kick the hypocrite out of the church. I want to see the hypocrite get the real thing. Hallelujah. I don't want to turn the problematic person out. I want to see them pray through and get it till they let God change them. Oh, hallelujah. I said hallelujah. But then also to preach the whole gospel, I'd have to say to the unbelievers, weeds won't get by. They will not escape. You may be prosperous materially right now. You may seem to be growing in every way, but weeds won't get by. There is a day of judgment. And then I'd like to say to the church, yes, yes, we want to be a field of wheat and not weeds. That is our desire. But the God that makes us wheat will take care of the weeds. We can leave that to Him. Isn't that what this man said? The servant said, what do you want us to do? He said, back off. I'll take care of that. We want to be a field of wheat. We don't want the corrupter, the defiler. Amen. We don't want to be a place that encourages the growth of weeds, that produces weeds, that makes people weeds, that grow and spread. We want to be a field of wheat. And the best way for that is to keep this thing right here, central to everything. What else would I say to the church? We want to do everything possible to help the weed become the wheat. Hallelujah. And last of all, church, amen, we want to be thankful that He is a good sower and He knows what's going on in His field. Hallelujah. Well, come music. I'm getting to the place now. Andrew's getting old enough, he says, not to use him as an illustration. My grandkids are too far away. So I'm sorry, honey, that just leaves you. Years ago, I planted these raspberries. Built me a trellis for them. You know, you can't pick them the first year. It takes the second year. I planted the main stalks, and they grew up. Came time for the second year, second spring. I went out there one day. I was so excited. See, those things put up shoots from the roots. I went out there, and I mean, those original brown stems that I planted, they were surrounded with all these green new shoots of the raspberry. I thought, man, I'm going to be picking raspberries this year. A few days later, my wife came in. She's always desires to be so helpful. She came in and she said, honey, you won't have to. I already weeded your raspberries. So we waited 3 years for raspberries. She's just trying to be helpful. Sometimes I'm afraid we go and pull up what God was able and fully intended to turn into a holy person of God that would have fruit in their life. I'm going to leave that to God. I'm grateful for what God can do. I think it's, and I'm trying to make anyone look bad. Every one of us is human. Every one of us fights that tendency. But I can say there are amongst us folks that when they first came, some folks said, wow, aren't you, pastor, aren't you going to do something about them? You're going to let them sing in the choir? And I can say today that some of them are the hardest workers, best worshipers in the church. Isn't this gospel a glorious thing? I want us to do something. Why don't we just stand right now and let's thank the sower. Let's thank Him for what He's done in our own. Don't you worry about the weeds one little bit. You just lift your hands and thank God that He's made you wheat. Would you do it? Let's praise Him. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Lord, I can't make this come home. Lord, only You can, by Your Spirit, can make it real. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Oh, praise the name of the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. You may be here this morning. You need your life changed. Amen. Amen. Nobody's here to tell you how bad a weed you are. The only thing our hearts would be is if you realize the shape you're in, you'd come to Jesus and let Him change your heart, your way of thinking, your way of feeling, your motives, your everything about you, your perspective. Amen. Are you here? You need a life change. I want you to come right now to this step that we use as an altar. There is transforming power in the power of God. Forgive me, can I tell you one more time? He can turn a weed into wheat. He can turn the impure living woman into a woman that has the purity and the righteousness of Christ emanating from her life. He can turn a liar into a witnesser of the truth of the gospel. Oh, hallelujah. Is there anyone else who would like to come? I need God's transforming power. I need God to change me. I need God to change me. Are you here? You'd like to come? I'm going to ask something. This is a bit hard. Amen. I've talked about others being quick to judge. But I wonder if you wouldn't judge yourself this morning. Hear me. I know this is hard, but this will help. If you were honest, you'd have to say that lately you've had more characteristics of a weed than of a wheat. And you're saying, I don't want to be weed. I want to be wheat. If that's you this morning, here in a moment I want to open these altars. If you have to walk all the way from wherever your pew is, you do it. Say, oh God, I don't want to be wheat that's burned in the fire. I want to be wheat that's gathered into the barn. I'm going to open these altars, and everyone that wants to seek the sower, everyone that wants to be wheat, everyone that one day wants to shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of your Father, would you come and fill these altars? If you need change, come with the saints as they pray and believe God to transform you and to change you. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm telling you this morning, He can turn the weed into wheat. Oh, hallelujah.
All I am,
He turned the weed into wheat,
is to be like Him all through life's journey, from earth to glory.
Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah.
All I am,
hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Speak to us, Spirit of God. You're the Lord of the harvest. You're the Lord of the harvest. I wish someone would be honest today and say, I'm judging myself. No one else is judging me. But lately I've had more characteristics of a weed than wheat. But if God would help me, I'll let Him speak to me. I'll let Him change me. Oh, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I want to be wheat. I want to be wheat. I want to be wheat. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah.